This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Together, take your copy of God's Word, and we're back in Exodus today. Exodus chapter number 5 is where we're going to be. I have thoroughly enjoyed the study thus far in the book of Exodus, looking at the life of Moses, his calling, his character, and his wonderful career as a prophet of God. And so we'll give a little recap of where we're at up to this far, but I want to dive into the text because of the time that we have. Exodus chapter 5, and I want to look at verse number 1, and then we're going to carry all the way down to the last part of Exodus 5, and I want to show you something there also. Exodus chapter number 5. So today we're going to be talking about overcoming obstacles on God's road to freedom. Overcoming obstacles on God's road to freedom. God wants us to be spiritually free. God wants us to be a people that enjoys worship. God wants us to be set at liberty and not be bound up by the things of the world and by the enemy around us. God wants us to be a people that can truly rejoice in the freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. But you will find that as we experience that freedom, as we journey on into that freedom, there are going to be obstacles along the way that's going to discourage us, to try to get us off track. As great as a man of God as Moses was, we find in the text that he is on this road to freedom, and he's got this huge obstacle that's in front of him. And it discourages him to such a degree that, listen, he actually begins to doubt God's calling on his life. He begins to doubt the power of God. He begins to doubt the reason why God had called him into this mission. And so maybe you're here today and you're just like Moses. You've hit some type of obstacle. You're up against a wall. There's something that's hindering you from being what God wants you to be. And maybe you're here today and you're doubting the call of God on your life. You're doubting God's plan for your life, for your marriage, for your ministry. I want you to know that what God did for Moses, God will do for you and I. And so I want you to look with me in the text, Exodus chapter 5, verses 1, and then we'll follow down through the chapter. If you're there, say amen. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold the feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, listen to this in verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and of the officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle," that is, they are lazy. "Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your straw where ye can find it. Ye not aught of your own work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hastened them, saying, "Fulfill your work," that is, meet your quota, your daily task as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore ye have not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as hitherto. I want you to go all the way down to verse number 22 and verse number 23. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Look at verse 22. Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it, God, that thou hast sent me? I want you to be seated. Today, we're going to talk about overcoming these obstacles on God's road to freedom. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And without a doubt in my mind, Lord, there are folks that are here today that are facing multiple obstacles on this spiritual journey of faith. Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide and direct by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to discern and to discover what your will is for our life. No matter what evil comes up against us, no matter what obstacles we face, Lord, ahead, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us all the resources that we need to make a wise, righteous, holy decision that will bring you honor and to bring you glory. May we as the people of God experience the liberty and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and not allow the encumbersome things of the world to tear us down and to distract us and get us off the path, Lord, of doing the will of God. We ask all of these things in the lovely name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, I'm sure that you're going to agree with me this morning that it's tough to remain patient when things aren't going the way that we actually thought they would. When you're in line at the grocery store, you can find that your patience begin to run thin, right? When you're ordering your food in the drive-thru and you're waiting in a long line waiting for your food, you can find that your patience begins to run very thin. How about when you call a business and they put you on hold for 20, 30, sometimes even 40 minutes or more, you can find that your patience begins to run very thin. What I have found is that nobody, no one in this room, nobody on this planet, no one is exempt from being trapped by impatience. And I think you will agree with me, and I'm pretty sure you all will, that it's tough to remain patient when things are not going the way that we actually thought they should go. This is where Moses is at in the narrative of Exodus chapter number 5. In his mind, he's thinking that things ought to be going this way. Everything should be moving in this direction. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he finds himself in front of obstacles. And he's having a difficult time overcoming those obstacles. We too are just like Moses. We become very impatient when there's an obstacle in front of us. And I thought about this week, about being impatient. I wondered, you know, what was the top causes for being impatient. So I began to do a little research and dig down deep into some of my counseling books and came up with 10 reasons why I believe that people become impatient. Number one, when you feel like you're not in control, you become impatient. When they feel like that they're not making progress, a person will become impatient. When they feel like they're wasting their time, people become impatient. When a person's being ignored, they become very impatient. When they're being treated unfairly, it's so easy to become impatient. When people are being taken for granted, they become impatient. When their efforts are not appreciated, they become impatient. When their time is not valued, people become impatient. When they feel like they're not being heard, people become impatient. Number 10, when their needs are not being met, people become impatient. In this fast-paced society that I live in and that you live in, it's easy to get caught up in the rat race of being in such a hurry to get things done. We live so fast and so quick that we want things done tomorrow, and we plan today to succeed tomorrow, and we're such in a hurry, and a lot of times, in all of our hurriness, it often leads to impatience. We're impatient when we become impatient, we're likely to make mental mistakes, become very frustrated, and even lead others to go astray when we are not thinking correctly. Now, if you're struggling with impatience this morning, like Moses is, I want to remind you of the wise words of James found in James chapter number 5. Several times he uses the word patience. He says in James 5, verse 7 and verse 8, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient." Be ye also patient. Can we say that together? Be ye also patient. One more time. Be ye also patient. He said, "Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Chuck Swindoll has written a fantastic book entitled Tough Stuff. And in that book entitled Tough Stuff, he talks about the things that are difficult for us to try to overcome. And one of the things that's difficult for us to overcome is impatience. And this is what he says: getting through the tough stuff is neither quick nor easy. He said it makes life seem harsh and unfair, sometimes even impossible. But knowing that we have our Heavenly Father near can be just enough to keep us on our feet and enable us to take on whatever tomorrow may include. Since it's always something that we have to deal with, the good news is this: He, God, is always there. If you're happy for that, somebody say amen. No matter what we go through, no matter what wears on our patience, God is there to help us to get through the difficult times of life. Well, looking into the narrative this morning in Exodus chapter number 5, you're going to see how Moses and God's people actually responded when they faced difficult circumstances. Now, let's track where we're at up to this far. You'll recall that when the Israelites were enslaved, they were enslaved people in Egypt, that they cried out to God. And they called upon God's mercy and God's grace to deliver them. And God heard their cry and sent them Moses, the man of God, the prophet of God. And it's going to be Moses that's going to lead them out of Egypt, out of the bondage, and into the promised land and the blessing of God Almighty. And so Moses gets his marching orders. He has this wonderful experience at the burning bush, and he heeds the call of God. He accepts the call of God, and he moves forward to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But when he demands of Pharaoh to let the people go, Pharaoh refuses. Instead, he made it even more difficult for the people of God living in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh accuses the Israelites of being lazy and unappreciative, and he adds more suffering and more affliction on the people of God, actually demanding of them to go find their own straw. Instead of providing the straw for them to make the bricks, go find your own straw. But by the way, you better meet your quota at the end of the day. Because if you don't meet the end of the day quota, what would happen was they would be beaten, struck down, suffering under the awful hand of Pharaoh's taskmasters. So he forced them to work even harder. And they became mad and angry and disenchanted and even upset at Moses and the plan of God that God had told the people of Israel. Israelites become very angry, disenchanted, and discouraged. They are giving up, they are giving out, and they are giving in. They blame the man of God for making their lives even more difficult. And in all of these obstacles, it brings all sorts of frustration to Moses. He has had the burning bush experience. He's got the call of God on his life. He knows what God wants him to do. It's in his heart. He's ready to work with his hands. He's ready to move with his feet. He's ready to be the leader that God's called him to be. So in Moses' mind, God's on my side. So every obstacle is going to be moved. If God can speak to me through the burning bush, then surely God can move every obstacle when I square off with Pharaoh. But it just didn't happen that way. And Moses, in his mind, he's thinking it should be one way when everything is going the opposite direction. Now, has that ever happened to you? You felt like this is what God wants me to do. This is what God has called me to do. And you move out. You've got your marching orders. But all of a sudden, all these obstacles are in front of you. And you can't find or discover the will of God. And you begin to question, God, did you really call me to this? Is this really what you wanted me to do? Where are you? This is your plan, not my plan. Where are you, God? This is where Moses is at. The people of God get angry at Moses. They're upset at Moses. And in verse 22 and verse 23, probably many of us in this room, you can see a portrait of yourself here in verse 22 and verse 23. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, listen to the discouragement in his voice, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why are you doing this to the people of God? You've called me to deliver them. You've asked me to rescue them. Why are you letting them be beaten? Why are you allowing Pharaoh to do all of this? He says, why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, all he's done is evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Moses is discouraged. And perhaps you're here today and you're discouraged. You feel like that God wants you to go a certain way. There's a certain plan, a certain desire of God that he's placed in your heart. You've tried and you've tried and you've tried, but there's a Pharaoh in front of you that says no. There's an obstacle in front of you, and you are sitting here today doubting the very God who's put breath within your nostrils. You are sitting here denying that God will, you're saying God will leave me, God will forsake me, God doesn't care, God's asleep at the wheel. Something is wrong. God, if this is your plan, then I need you to help me and to rescue me. This morning, here's the lesson that we're going to learn as we dive into the text this morning. When we are faced with obstacles in our life, listen now, we need to trust that God is in control and we need to trust his sovereign plan. Somebody say amen. When you are faced with difficult obstacles in your life, you must trust the Lord. Second of all, we must be patient and wait on God. We don't work in our time. We do not work in our way. We work in God's timing and we work in God's way. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So therefore, we must exercise patience in the sovereign plan of Almighty God. And last of all, we've got to remember that God has called us to never give up, never to give out, and never to give in. Even when the odds seem impossible, we are to still trust in the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. This morning, I got just 2 points. It's better than the pointless sermon. Somebody say amen there. So I have 2 points in the time that we have as we track this narrative and move further into chapter number 6 and chapter number 7 here in the days ahead. I want to look at the narrative and I want to apply some spiritual applications from the text. Some things that I really want you to think through. Because some of you are dealing with this impatience process. Some of you have another obstacle. Maybe you get angry too quick. Maybe you can't control your words. Maybe your temperament is not the way it needs to be. And there's some type of obstacle that's impeding you from being all that God wants you to be. Well, Moses was the same way. And so if you're taking points with us, here's point number one. I want to talk about the cause of Moses' obstacles. The cause of these obstacles. And the cause is actually based upon 3 questions that are found in the text. The challenge presented in chapter number 5 is broken down into 3 simple questions. 2 of them by Pharaoh, 1 of them by Moses. The first question is by Pharaoh. Why should I obey the Lord in verses 1 to verse 3. Why should I obey God? And there are some of you here today that you're saying the same thing. Why should I obey God? Why should I trust God's word? Why should I do what the Lord has asked me to do? Pharaoh asked the question, why should I obey the Lord? Number two, why should this work stop? Number three, the question is posed from Moses, and he says, why, Lord, have you sent me? The last two verses that we read in the text. Now, I want to deal with these, but I specifically want to look at question one and question three. Question one from Pharaoh, why should I obey the Lord? And question three from Moses, why have you sent me? So let's think about question one. Why should I obey the Lord? Now, since the Egyptians believed that the Pharaoh was a deity, they believed that the Pharaohs, they were gods. If he obeys this mandate and he lets the people go, then Pharaoh is admitting and acknowledging that there is a greater deity than himself. And there is no way that's going to happen. There's no way that he is going to obey the Lord. So listen, in his pride and false security, in his pride and his false security, Pharaoh will not listen to the words of the living God. And today, there are some of you here today, because of your pride and your false security, you are not listening to the words of the living God. Because of your false security, you believe that you can handle this. You believe that you got things under control. You think your education is going to move you forward. You think your pedigree is going to move you forward. You think because of who you are and where you come from and maybe where you live, you think it's going to move you forward. I want you to know, friend, there's only one thing that you and I can trust in. There's only one thing that's going to put fresh wind in the sails of a child of God, and that's Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. I've got to eliminate my pride. I've got to lay my pride down and my false security, and I've got to trust what God says. Somebody say amen. Pharaoh said, why should I obey in the Lord? He said in verse 2, that I should obey the voice of the God of Israel to let the people go. I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. Probably some of the saddest words we can find in Scripture. He said, I will not obey his voice. I do not know the Lord. When I read that, I thought about this hymn, O careless soul, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad it is to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Are you prepared this morning? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Or are you much like Pharaoh? In your pride and in your false security, you say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Why do I have to look to the word of God for direction for my life? I'm the master of my own destiny. I pick and choose as I please. Why should I obey the Lord? Why should I obey his voice? I do not know the Lord. Well, let me introduce you to who he is. The Lord is the God who's the God of love. God is good. God is merciful. God is faithful. God is holy. God is all powerful. God is all wise. God is all knowing. God is gracious. God is sovereign. God is the creator of the universe. God is the heavenly Father, redeemer of humanity. God is our provider, our protector, and our teacher. Somebody say amen. God is our faithful friend, our glorious guide. He's the hope of the world. God is peace. God is joy. God is light. God is truth. God is life. God is the way. God is the door of heaven. He is the great shepherd. He's the king of glory. He's the righteous judge. God is all of that and much, much more. He is king of kings and lord of lords. And let me remind you today that God is everything that you need. Somebody say amen in the house of God. Let's give him honor and glory and praise today. He is everything and all that you and I need. What we call adversity, God calls an opportunity. What we call adversity, God calls an opportunity. I have found in the Bible that God uses obstacles to do several things in our lives. Number one, to nullify our fears. Number two, to fortify our faith. Number three, to clarify our future. And number four, to glorify the Father in heaven. What we call adversity, God says, is an opportunity. God wants to take the adversity of our life and use it as a purging mechanism to help us to bankrupt our spirit to where the only place we are looking to is up to Him. God uses that adversity to nullify your fears, to fortify your faith, clarify your future, and help you to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let me remind you of what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Somebody say amen. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here's what fear does in your life. Number one, fear leads to forgetfulness. We forget that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We forget that the power of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. We forget that the Word of God is a lamp into our feet. It's a light into our path, that God has given us power. When I am filled with fear, I become forgetful. Fear not only leads to forgetfulness, but fear leads to failure. It leads to failure every single time. God said, I've not given you a spirit of fear. Not only does fear lead to failure, not only does it lead to forgetfulness, but fear leads to frailty. That is, you become weak and feeble in your walk with God. What God wants to do is take the fear away from you and give you faith. I'm talking about a bold Holy Ghost faith, where God takes faith and endows us with power. He enriches us with love, and He enlightens us with a sound mind. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given me power. He's given me love. Hallelujah. And He's given us a sound mind. Somebody say amen. God wants to take your fear and fill you with faith. A faith that empowers us with power. A faith that enriches us with the love of God. And certainly a faith that's going to enlighten us with a sound mind to make wise, righteous, holy decisions. Listen, each obstacle is an opportunity, listen now, to prove your faith in God, to provide a future for your family, and then to praise the Father which is in heaven. Listen, some of God's best gifts are not things, they are opportunities. Some of God's best gifts are not things, they're opportunities. Opportunities for you to prove your faith, to hone your skills, and to give God honor and glory. This is where Moses is at. God is trying to tell Moses, I've not given you a spirit of fear, son, but I've given you one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Moses asked, why have you sent me? He begins to doubt the love of God. Let me ask you this morning, are you doubting God's love? Are you doubting God's plan? Is that obstacle on the road to freedom and liberty and faith in God, is there something that is impeding you and hindering you from being all that you need to be? This was the cause of Moses' obstacle. Let me give you the cure to Moses' obstacle. While the cause was the questions that he asked, the cure is going to be the quest. The cure is going to be the quest. That is, Moses, you have to travel on. You can't stop and sit soaking sour. Somebody say amen. You can't stop and begin to feel sorry for yourself. God not only refined Moses in that 40 years in the backside of the desert, but He's fine-tuning Moses through this process. God's allowing the obstacles to become opportunities to kind of melt the dross off, and so that the fine gold of Moses' life literally comes forward. He's trying to do something within Moses. He needs Moses to follow through with the quest. He said, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. It may be a long journey. It may be a long process, but it's going to be worth the wait. You know, as I was studying for this, I came across a story found in a book and was written by T. Desmond Alexander, who was a professor of the Union Theological College. And this is what he said, and I related with it, and I'm sure that you're going to also. Listen to what he says. We're talking about moving forward on the quest, that is, fulfilling what God's plan is for our life. Listen how he illustrates this. He says, remember when you were young? He said, heading out with the family on a road trip, maybe it was to Disney World or the Grand Canyon or some other gem in the Americana trip, or the, I'm sorry, in the Americana trove, a treasure trove. He said, there was the excitement of rising early, loading up the car, and then setting out for the journey. He said, usually, however, at some point, reality sank in. Between our starting point and the destination, there was the long, hard journey. Numb knees, bored stares out the window, occasional war with our sibling in the back seat, way too many stops and way too many gas stations. And this is what he said. A focus on the destination made the discouragement of the long car ride worth it. The journey to our Heavenly Father's destination, the New Jerusalem, can also be long and hard. But if we keep our focus on where we are headed, we will realize that the end result of the journey is worth the hardship along the way. He said, the end result of the journey is worth the hardship along the way. Right now, Moses is in the back seat of the car. He's warring with God. He's bored over the plan. He's frustrated over what's happening. It's been too many days. It's been too long. It's been too many hours. This should have already been resolved. We should already be in the desert. We should already be engaged in worship. This is not going to plan. When we feel like Moses, I agree with Alexander, who said, a focus on the destination made the discouragement of a long car ride worth it. Traveling with God, even though there is impatience, traveling with God, even though there are obstacles, traveling with the Lord, the end result of the journey is going to be worth all the hardships, all the obstacles, all the things that you had to endure. At the end of the day, it will be worth it because it's not your plan, it is God's plan. Somebody say amen in the house of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to verse 2 says it well. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Listen now. And let us run with, what's the next word, church? Patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Are you running with patience today? Or impatience? Has that impatience become such an obstacle for you to reconcile a relationship, to improve maybe on your skills, maybe to launch out and to do something special for God that you know God's calling you to do? So there's something that the Lord wants you to do, but you're allowing some type of obstacle to hinder you and to impede you, and you are questioning the very call and the authority of God in your life because of that obstacle. How many knows God's greater than our obstacles? Say amen. Amen. Moses is going to learn that God is greater than the obstacles of life, but he also is going to learn that this obstacle is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for him to invest in spiritual prayer. It's an opportunity for him to look within inside himself to see what sort of man or person he has become. It's an opportunity for him to take a time out and to look around and see, Lord, what is it exactly that you want me to do? How do you want me to go about it? And no matter what Pharaoh says, if you put this in my heart, I will not give up. I will not give out. I will not sit, soak, and sour. I will serve and do the work of the Lord. Somebody say amen. So how do we overcome the obstacles like impatience in our lives? Take these notes this morning. First of all, we need to ask God to help us. First of all and foremost, we need to ask God to help us. This is a battle that we cannot win on our own. No matter how much we fight, no matter how strategic our planning may be, it is not a battle that we can win on our own. We need God's strength. We need God's power working in us and through us if we're going to overcome the obstacles of life. First, we need to ask God to help us. Second of all, we need to take every thought captive and bring it into obedience to the Lord. You know this, and you probably know it too well. When we begin to do the work of the Lord, there's all sorts of thoughts that we begin to entertain, and the devil has a way of planting thoughts within our minds to cause us discouragement, to doubt God. We become disenchanted. We start looking at people instead of God. We start looking at circumstances instead of the Lord. And so here's what we need to do. When you know that God has put something in your heart, when you know that this is what you must do for the Lord, when you know that this is a clear clarion call from God, you've got to bring every thought into captivity and bring it to obedience to Jesus Christ. If it is a bad thought, if it is a negative thought, if it's a thought that brings discouragement, God is not the author of confusion. That's the devil doing spiritual warfare with you. So what you need to do is renew your mind. Get your mind on heaven. Get your mind on God. Get your mind on the Word of God and grab a hold of that thought and bring it into captivity to obedience of Jesus Christ. Renew your mind. Not only, first of all, do we need to ask God to help us. Second of all, we need to take every thought captive. Third, we need to focus on things that are eternal. Somebody say amen. We get so enamored with thinking about the things of this world. Can I remind you, this world is fleeting. It is only temporary. Amen? It is fleeting and it is only temporary. But the things of God, help me now, the things of God, they are eternal. And so we need a better focus. We need to focus on things that are eternal, not on the things of the world, the things of heaven, the spiritual things of God that motivates us to move forward for the honor and the glory of Christ. We need to ask for God's help. We need to bring every thought into obedience, bring it into captivity, into obedience to Christ. We need to focus on things that are eternal. And last of all, and Curtis, you can come to the piano. We simply need to trust God's timing. Moses, I need you to trust my timing. I need you to trust in me. I said it earlier, Isaiah said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You need to know because God's timing is perfect, you and I can trust in it. Somebody say amen. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, wait a minute, Brother David, you just don't know how long I've been battling with this. You don't know how long I've been struggling with this. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I have tried and I've tried some more. Maybe that's the problem. You have tried, but you've not allowed God to do it for you. You know, you can't live the Christian life in your own power. Did you know that? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but it's Christ that lives within me. I can't live the Christian life. Within my own power and my own means, I will fail every single time, and so will you. If you try to do it on your own, you're gonna fail. You're just gonna mess it up. It's not going to work. You may have some high points. You may have some plateaus that looks like a little success, but just think about how much higher you can go and how better things would be if you would let go and let God have his way in your heart and your life. Obstacles are not God's tools to impede you. Obstacles are opportunities for God to purge you, to reshape you, to reform you, maybe just to give you rest, to recharge your battery so that you can go forward and do what God's called you to do. I know that there may be some here today who say, Brother David, I want to believe you, but I'm having a hard time. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Don't believe me. Take God's word for it. You take his word for it. Today, if you will step out by faith, today, if you will reach upward toward the hand of God and say, God, I have questioned you over and over again, but I'm not going to question you any longer. Whatever you want me to do, empower me, enable me, remove the fear, fill me with faith, give me that sound mind, give me that power, give me that love that Paul told Timothy of. And take my questions, Lord, move them aside, that I may finish the quest that you have called me to do.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.